We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
Which Cub wears the most cologne?
There's some guys, man, that when you if you give them a hug or whatever, it's almost like you can't even go see your wife right after that. She's going to be suspicious. I mean, some of these dudes really.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
You're trying to fool yourself into thinking that the oatmeal raisin is healthy. That's what people try to do. It's not.
Joe, overrated though?
Yes, they're overrated, Tony.
Oh, my God, overrated. A peanut butter, and I go peanut butter. Whoa. Way at the top of the list.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
We love that we get the opportunity to talk with Cubs manager Joe Madden every week. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Here is the manager of your Chicago Cubs joining us all the way from San Diego, Joe Madden. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Lawrence. How you doing, brother? It's 10 o'clock here, by the way.
Did you get a chance to get down to the water at all today?
No, I just barely got up today. My cousin was in town. Bob was in town last night, and Jay is here. So we had a little bite to eat after the game and a little drink with them downstairs, and also her brother, Chris. So we were up a little bit late last night.
Yeah, I can imagine, and it was probably nice to do that after a big win last night. What did that mean to you last night, just getting back on the winning trail and going out west on the road and being able to get a win?
Yeah, we've been like way too much like this, though, where we'll play really well, win a couple in a row, and looks like you're in good shape, and then you lose a couple in a row. We gotta get beyond that with about 19 games left or something like that. Now, it was great. Listen, it was great. Kyle was good. Nico provided some energy for us and some big hits. Up and down the line, Schwarber good. Castellanos stays hot. A lot of wonderful things. But, man, we got to somehow figure out how to maintain that method that you saw last night the rest of the season without any hiccups.
With Nico, watching him at the plate yesterday, it's got to be a daunting task. Guy was sitting on his couch. You guys give him the call that he's ready to come to the show to help out. He gets in the lineup, and it wasn't just that he hit the ball, but his approach seemed to be really good. Where does that come from with him, and how do you keep that the same?
That's just who he is. His swing is really grooved for that inside-out approach, similar to Castellanos. And as you watch him play, a lot of the balls he hits should reflect a very similar manner the way Nicklaus hits the ball. BP yesterday, I'm watching this first round, and the first, I don't know, four or five were just line drives to right center. It was a beautiful thing to watch. So when he gets in the game, he doesn't forget that. And the first hit, that little blooper to right field, two strikes, the pitcher, who is a friend of his from college, made some good pitches, but then a little butt out base hit to right because he stayed with his approach. The double down the left, the triple down the left field line. Again, you see Nicklaus get out in front a little bit. Is able to hook the ball and keep it fair, just like Nico did yesterday. And then on top of that, he had a really good day at shortstop. So his is the approach that I really like. I think that's the tried and true approach. That's the one I like to see more young hitters adopt.
Is Nico going to be in your lineup today, or have you even filled it out?
Oh, yeah, he'll be in the lineup. Yes, he will. I haven't gotten to that yet. What I do is I send out, obviously, the lineup like last night. The guys knew who were playing today. But I will send out the batting order. I want to make sure everybody's well. I'll text with PJ, our trainer, this morning, and just make sure everybody's the crossing of the T's, the dotting of the I's, and then I send out the lineup.
It's kind of an interesting situation for Nico to be thrust into, where you're in the middle of this pennant chase, and there's so many injuries that you kind of have to go to him to get him out there and play a little shortstop for you. When he makes it inside your clubhouse, what's that conversation with you like between the two of you?
Very adult. This guy is really, first of all, he's very smart, very bright kid. And then he's really mature beyond his years. And gosh, it's really like talking to a guy that's been playing for the last 10 years in the major leagues. He was not, it's daunting, like you said. However, he he's able to compartmentalize in a manner that speaks to, I think, great parenting and where he's come from in the Stanford University, et cetera. Easy. He was ready to go. He was not wide-eyed by any means, just like when I met him in spring training. I think that this is the kid that always felt he belongs here. And I don't mean that in a bragging, horrible way. He really feels very comfortable in his own skin. And you saw it. You saw all of that last night. So the conversation was very similar to the one I had with him in spring training when I was getting to know him. When you get a chance to speak with him, it'll come through immediately. He's going to look you right in the eyeballs, and he's going to tell you straight up. And he's not going to be overwhelmed with anything. That's just who he is.
It sounds a little bit like going back to, 2015 with you and Javi, where you knew that you had a guy that was going to find his way to the major leagues and could end up helping you.
Good comp. Very good comp. Different in some ways, but good comp. Both have great bat-to-ball skills. Javi does also. Both run well. Both have this the eyes in the back of their head when they're playing on the bases. Probably from a defensive perspective, Javi a little bit more flair about it, but nevertheless, both of them, I think, really like the spotlight easily. So that's not a bad comp. From the first time I met Javi, I always thought the Cubs were going to be a better team when he's on the field. And Nico, I can't say I had that original thought only because Javi was here, KB was here, et cetera. We have the group that already ascended, but this guy here is going to make his mark, and he's going to be here for a long time.
What's it like to know that you're not going to have Javi for the last 19 games of the season, likely?
Likely, and it's what's it like? It's not a thought you'd like to have. I mean, this guy's a difference maker than I just mentioned. I mean, he loves this moment. He loves being in the middle of all of it, and he handles it so well. So we have to just get used to that thought, and the best way to handle it is to not think about it. You just can't go the woe is me route. You just got to play. And I think what Nico did last night helps that. I think Addison's not going to be far off coming back. He's still in concussion protocol, but it's almost like kind of a day-to-day thing with him getting him back. So that'll make that better, make a sticker in the middle infield defense. So we're missing some really important guys. KB should be hopefully back, and I'm going to find out pretty soon. But you can't, a man who's not here, you got to really work with those that are.
Talking with Cubs manager Joe Maddon here on The Score, you mentioned Chris Bryant. How has what's been going on with his knee affected him from your perspective?
Well, I mean, what I've noticed is that in the conclusion of his swing sometime, he kind of has to catch his balance where the knee probably just grabs him a little bit. On the bases, he runs hard all the time. It's hard to see it, but then at the conclusion of the play, you'll see it. After a slide trying to get up, you'll see it. Defensively, I haven't really seen it laterally. I think he's moved pretty well. So it's there. There's no question it's there. He's a pretty tough kid. He plays through a lot of maladies. When I watch him in the batter's box, he looks right to me, and that's important because I have my checkpoints with all the guys regarding what they're supposed to look like in their setup, and the setup looks good. So let's see. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty optimistic he'll play today. And if not, he should by tomorrow. And a part of when a guy is hurting, it's just that moment where you're waiting for it to hurt before it actually does, and it impacts or messes with your focus or concentration because if I do this, that's going to happen. So hopefully he gets out there, and when he goes through his swings and he starts running, he doesn't feel it, and then he could just go on and play without that afterthought.
Kyle Schwarber over the last, 6 weeks or so has really been on a tear. What's different about him at the plate? What's he doing right?
More of a tension-free swing for me, better balance, more hands. And that's the best way I could describe it. Less body, more hands, more from fingertips to elbows. Left center has really become his buddy again. He saw the home run last night. So primarily, watch when he takes some swings in the game right now when you're watching on TV. In the conclusion of his swing, he'll be able to finish it and just be able to stand there if he chose to for a minute. His balance has been that good. And when that occurs to me, just taking it backwards, that means your head's been still. Your head's still through the whole process. You're waiting for the ball to get there. You're not going to try to get it. you're staying inside it, you're using your hands, and then the final point is that you do create this balance. I used to have guys that swing and hold their finish, and you get all these five wonderful things occurring without me saying, keep your head still, stay inside the ball, hit the ball with your hands, et cetera. It just automatically occurs. So he's doing that in-game. It's not something he's doing as a drill pre-game, and that's why I think you're seeing a big difference.
Joe, I know you're focused in on what's going on with your team, but did you think that the Cardinals were going to be this good at this point of the season?
They always had the potential, just like we do. They're hitting. They're getting more offense than we've been getting consistently. They're pitching. I mean, they got some nice pitching. Their bullpen's been stellar. I think primarily the difference is I've liked them is their offensive side of the ball. I thought Ozuna, when Ozuna came back, and I don't even know what Goldschmidt's doing right now. I'm not really paying attention to them other than I know that they've been winning. I've always felt their offense is a threat. The Young, their shortstop, this kid can really hit. I think Dexter's finding a renaissance right now, and you know what Dexter can do. So it's not Benji. Yadier got back in the mix. So they're formidable at the plate. That's where we have to really be able to catch up is to do at the plate what they had been.
After the series with Milwaukee, after losing the last three games, how did you feel about how that series went and what could have gone better in it?
Primarily, again, we just don't hit their pitching that well. And, overall, their pitching, they got some nice guys, but overall, the ERAs are up and that ballpark is a launching pad. And so it's disappointing that we did not become more offensive. The first game, we did it. And then after that, had a hard time. And that's the difference. Their two guys, primarily Grandal and Yelich, are the wrecking crew there right now. Again, some great support. Like Gamel's really come on for them, has really played well against us. They're missing their second baseman, Hira, and that's really a big loss for them. But their two guys, Grandal, everybody talks about Yelich, but Grandal's the guy to me that was a difference maker there. What he has ascended over the last year or two, and I saw him with the Dodgers a couple years ago right-handed. He was pretty much an out. He's not anymore. You saw that home run in the upper tank the other day. He's a different cat left-handed, and I think the combination of those two has really permitted them to get back where they are.
With only 19 games left to play, you guys are right there in a playoff spot as we speak, but trying to win this division.
Right.
Does managing games now, is it different? Are you almost in like playoff modes where you can't go as long with a pitcher maybe if they don't have it that night, that sort of thing?
Of course, yes, we are. We have plenty of guys in the bullpen. A lot of the guys have been throwing well out of the bullpen. So you have to be a little bit less tolerant on the mound. That's true. So as you move it forward, you try to make your best guess. If the guy doesn't have it, you got to move the conga line. Regarding pinch hitting, although with the press pinch hitting wise, it's normally against the right-handed pitcher, our starting lineup against versus the righties, the group that you want, regardless, righty or left-handed reliever coming in the game. But yeah, you got to be a little less tolerant, a little bit more aggressive regarding making some moves.
I want to go back to Castellanos, and I know that we've talked about him every week, and with good reason. Ever since he's come to the Cubs, he's been an amazing player for you. You haven't seen any sort of like drop off with him at all. He's just been this guy since the moment that he's put on a Cub uniform. How satisfying is it for you to know that you're going to put him in the lineup and he's going to do the things that you need to get a win?
Well, it's very reassuring. Like last night, how many home runs is he hitting his first at bat this year? I don't even know if it's like five or six, maybe. And they're really well struck. And a lot of them are in that spot, that left center, the almost dead center field, on the barrel. The guy's on the barrel most of the time. It is. And I know that the rest of the lineup feels the same way. I mean, I had no idea the situation we would be in without him over this last month or so. He is that. He's ready to play every day. Plays, like you said, it's a happy opening day. He plays every game that way. If he doesn't come through, he's really upset with himself. He has this joy for the day. Not just for the game. On the day off, like recently, he had a swimming pool brought in and a little barbecue in the center field at Wrigley Field for his kid and his girlfriend. They went out there and they had a picnic in center field at Wrigley on his day off. How many guys do that? So it's just who he is. He has a joy for the day, and that's what you have to play this game. It's a kid's game. It should always remain that way. You have to have a joy for the moment. I don't want to go off course here, but I always thought that was Ripken's. Cal's one of his greatest strengths. He had such a joy for the day and the game. He made every day was a game. It was not life-threatening, and I think that's why Nicklaus has been so successful.
It's like he's really embraced not just being on a new team, but being specifically with the Cubs. It's strange to, and it's great to see him just immediately fit in and kind of make his own environment be what he wants it to be.
Yeah, listen, he doesn't let anybody contaminate his space. He is who he is. He came in. He was not worried about people misinterpreting him. This is who I am. There's no misinterpretation here. And I love that. I absolutely love that about a human being. And that's what I'm talking about, this joy. He's very comfortable in his own skin. This is me. This is who I am. This is how I react. And I'm a good baseball player, and I'm here to help. And I love being in Chicago and being a Cub. So it's not a real big surprise. I mean, I think a lot of times guys would come in and be a little more apprehensive about displaying exactly uncovering themselves. This is who I am. But he had no issues with that whatsoever. And I think that's a big part of why he's been so successful here.
John Lester has had some struggles over the last few starts. It's not velocity, it doesn't look like. What's happening?
Agreed. I mean, his stuff on the side looks the same. I mean, I like to see the curveball a bit more involved, I think. And then, just getting ahead of hitters. I think the last couple of times, maybe trying to be a little bit too careful, trying to make the perfect pitch, I think has something to do with it. I like to see him get just a little bit more primal in his approach. Him and Cole the same way. Just be primal, go ahead, get ahead, and then go to work. But I like their off speed. I like Cole's curveball also. The one thing I've noticed, and you saw last night with Kyle, curveball is a really good pitch. Hitters don't normally square up curveballs, and it's a ground ball pitch or it's a swing and miss pitch, and they both have really good hooks. And Kyle, my point is he's incorporating it more, and it's a really good pitch, and I think it takes him off the others. So more than anything, just be more assertive in the zone. Don't be afraid of your breaking pitch, your curveball. I think they're good pitches. And even if it's not the best in your mind's eye, it gives the hitter one more thing to think about, and it really exaggerates in a good way the other pitches and makes them more difficult.
Joe, we got some great questions from listeners this week.
Groovy. Hey, man.
All right, first one. When you were single, what was your go-to pickup line?
It wasn't a line as much as it was called Camel Filters.
You pull out the Camel Filters and then...
Yeah. No, I didn't actually take a Camel Filters out. It was the Joe Cool line. So you would disengage from the pack. Because when you're just sitting around with a bunch of guys, then you have really zero chance on getting together with any kind of lady. So you would disassociate from the pack and you would sit near the women's room, the ladies' room. And that way you'd be by yourself. So if anybody had been noticing you that night, that would be your best opportunity. So you would say, I'm going Camel Filters, and I get away from the group and get near the pick up a seat near the ladies' room, and hopefully somebody come in my direction.
Okay, player. All right. I see you with that,
so,
Joe.
You could go back to Timmy Grazio, all the boys back in town back in the day. And I used to really love to send drinks to a lady from my buddy. Like if I'm trying to help out Timmy, I'd pick out a lady at the bar, and I would send her a drink from Timmy. And she would just, the bartender would point, and all of a sudden my buddy would have an opportunity.
Okay, look at you being the wingman out there. That's good.
Oh, good wing. Great wingman. Are you kidding me? The best.
Okay, here's the second question. If you could have the absolute and total truth to one question, what question would you ask?
Oh, my. See, I'm really not inquisitive or curious with that. I really believe, and I want to believe, that I'm very a non-judgmental person. So, curiously... I don't have a good answer to that. My first thought was like, what do you think of me? And again, that would bother me if it was negative. I don't have a solid answer there, Lawrence.
All right. Well, we'll move on to the next question. Okay, I was thinking about that ethereally too. Like what would I ask? Is there an afterlife? Like,
okay.
You know, like right. Something like
is,
that.
What is, is what is heaven really like? Okay, that's cool.
That would be great to know the answer.
Yeah, right.
We'll never know. And this one goes in the complete opposite direction, Joe. All right, you ready? You're about to get into a fight. What song comes on as your soundtrack?
Rocky. the Rocky theme song, absolutely.
By Survivor, right?
Absolutely, no doubt. Come on, we're kids growing up. Was that 76 that movie came out?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, even if you're not a boxer, you're just bobbing and weaving, practicing that out, and watching him go through what he goes through, and the Apollo Creed. Appalling Greed is what it was known as in Mad Magazine. Apollo Creed, they did the... The Mad Magazine did the parody, and it was Appalling Greed. I used to love that. And I always read Mad Magazine growing up. I read that in National Lampoon, Mad Magazine, A Fire Sign Theater on albums. This comedy stuff was absolutely the best. But I think I would go with the theme song from Rocky.
I kind of had that as one of the things that you would go to. Like, I feel like that would get you right, you know, just in case the other guy knows that they're going to be in for a long day.
I hate to be so predictable, but I think that'd be true.
Well, Joe, good luck tonight and for the rest of the series against San Diego. I'll see you when you get back home.
Thanks, Lawrence. You be well, buddy. Thanks.
You too. That's Joe Madden, the manager of the Cubs. Tony, player.
And the use of the prop, though.
Like, right?
Like it's a dunk contest. Look, give me my prop. I'm not actually using this. But, hey, what's up?
Sup?
Nothing.
I'm just here chilling, you know, by myself over here. What's great about that is that you know that there's a guy or a young lady that's like, huh, didn't think of it that way. Not that you can have cigarettes in bars anymore, but.
Yeah, that's the only thing now. It's like, yeah, you may have to flip it up.
But.
Vape pen.
Well, maybe don't, because I don't know if it's going to explode in your mouth or whatever else is going on with that stuff. But the idea of, let me separate from the pack. You go out with a group of people. Let me shine on my own a little bit. Joe Madden out here giving player tips for you.
Well, player, you remember that movie Hitch with Will Smith? He kind of did the similar thing where he asked the young lady to get him a drink, and she's like, "Hey, I'm not a waitress."
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and he's like, "I knew you weren't a waitress. I had to get you away from those guys."
That's a good movie. It's a fun romantic comedy. And Eva Mendez, I mean, come on. It doesn't get more beautiful than Eva Mendez and Will Smith. That's pretty beautiful right there. They're doing okay for themselves. But Joe out here giving you the play a call. Sucky, 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 Sue. You know, if we did like a player's ball, that Joe would be like, he'd be out here looking like Huggy Bear. You know that if we did, if
next
they,
road trip thing,
dude, if the Cubs did the problem is that you have to be careful, but if they did a player's ball road trip, oh my God, Joe would win, right? Who on the roster could win that? Strope, right? Strope's at the top of the list. Joe is at the top of the list. I feel like Castellanos has some of that swag in him already with the no t-shirt and the chain.
I got Holland. Let's go, baby.
Dutch Oven?
I think I'm going with Dutch Oven.
Castellanos has the like super intensity that people are going to be able to gravitate towards as well.
All right. Let's see. Anyone
Maybe
else?
Not as much as Rizzo, Ahmed? I don't know.
I feel like Rizzo would do it as camp.
Huh?
Not... He would, it, for him, it would be like, ha, 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 player's ball, ha, ha, ha. Whereas Castellanos is like, player's ball. And like, you can hear Outkast in the back as Nick Castellanos is walking by. With Rizzo, it's like oh, look at this. I got a big pimp hat and blah, 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 blah. So, and let's give Jason Hayward a nod here, too. I feel like he's got that vibe, that player's ball vibe. So my top three would be Joe, Strope, and Hayward with Castellanos like right there. I think that's where I would go.
Ooh, Camp just made a good observation.
Okay.
did we forget Javi in all this because he's hurt?
Oh, you know what? You're right. We totally forgot Javi because he's hurt. I totally changed my order. I'm going to go Javi, Joe, Hayward for the player's ball. That's a great catch by you. Out of sight, out of mind. We need to take a break. Back after this on The Score. It's funny reading some of the texts from the Joe Hatton segment. I love that you guys are texting in with your thoughts. 670-11 is the way that you can do it. This guy says top three Cubbies players ball. Strope, Javi, Madden. Honorable mention for Kemp. I don't know if I know enough about Tony Kemp to put him in that list. Let's see what else. The swagoo falls well with Stropey, but the mentality of Jay Hay is ideal for a player. If there was only a way you could make them a hybrid. Yeah, they. I mean, let's be honest. Like, they have a couple guys that you just stop and stare at, too, right? Like, the Chris Bryant's going to walk into a place, people are going to be like, oh, same thing with Jason Hayward. Like, Jason Hayward's going to go, oh, you know what? We did the our luncheon series, and I'm there with Jason Hayward and Kyle Schwarber, and I think it was Ryan. It's either Ryan or Gertz. They said to me, all right, guys, stand up. We're going to take a picture. It's like, no, I am not standing next to 6'4", 220, chiseled in a picture. Are you out of your mind? You better take this picture right now while we're sitting down.
Schwarber's probably thinking the same thing.
Exactly. No way. I'm not doing that. I have to deal with that every week on the football side. I'm not dealing with that on the baseball side, too. Nope. You can snap the picture of us sitting down right here. That's the only way I look like a normal human being. I'm not standing next to Jason Hayward. Are you out of your mind? Jeez.
You think Jason feels other people's like insecurities around him when they stand next to him? Like, he just has a sixth sense.
I mean, the guy's built like an NFL wide receiver. No, I'm not standing next to him to take a picture. And I really like him. But come on, we've all got to accentuate all of our positives. And there are no positives when you're standing next to that. Look like a number 10. Get out of here. Not doing that.
Some guy's wife's like, oh, can I take a picture with Jason Hayward? No, you don't.
Nope.
Do certain people break ties or close decisions on the best man by having the better looking dude further away from them?
Ooh, that's a good question, Campy.
What did you do, Lawrence?
I had a best woman.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Campy?
That was that.
You're the only other married person here?
I don't have that many friends, so I didn't have a lot of choice there. So my buddy Marty was it, and he is much better looking than me, but I had to bite the bullet on that one.
Well, I mean, I had that problem, obviously, with Afia being my best woman.
Yeah, but it's also different.
It is different, which was great, but I mean, she wore tux, and it was like,
right,
badass. Like, I was like, oh, great. So not even today can I be the best looking person in a tuxedo. Not even today. Awesome.
Does the bride think that as well? Their best, they're like, what is it called?
Not mine. My bride didn't care. Like, if you knew how low maintenance Mel was, like, before the wedding, as far as that's the, I think her dress cost $80.
Rent it?
No, she bought it. Why? It's $80 because she could wear that dress whenever.
Oh, so it wasn't like a traditional wedding.
I mean, it was white, but she was wearing camo shoes.
I feel like the whole wedding business is like a scam.
Speak on it, Tony.
It's a huge scam. It's like you're putting all this money and investment into one single day that's going to last 2 hours.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's so pointless.
I agree with you. Like, do you want a car or do you want this wedding?
Or would you like a nice place to live or this wedding?
Do you want a house or do you want this wedding?
That's why we kept it minimalistic.
Do you want to go into debt for one day?
Not that one.
Like, when I get married, I'm definitely renting a tux.
No, here's why you should buy a tuxedo, Tony. You should buy a tuxedo because they don't cost that much, and if you wear it twice, it's paid for itself.
I can't imagine myself wearing a tuxedo anywhere.
You have siblings?
I do.
Are they going to get married?
Probably.
There you go. Now you've worn it twice. What about
I was a groomsman in one of my buddy's weddings, and he was like, well, instead of having you rent a tux, let's just buy suits from, it was like pennies or something like that.
Buy yourself a tuxedo. Like, if you go to like Men's Warehouse or whatever and just buy one, it's usually less than a suit. And then you're good. So when an event comes up where you might need a tuxedo, like let's say when I retire in 2 years and we do like a retirement party, wear your tuxedo. The ones you already have in the closet. Works out. It's nice to have. You go to a nice formal wedding. Someone who can pay $60,000 for a wedding. Then you've got the tuxedo and you're good. But yeah, it's sometimes I go to weddings and I'm like, y'all not even going to be married that long.
It's true. Every person listening had a name just jump in the middle.
Hey. Look,
I know mine.
I know mine too. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. You're in your car right now, and you know that you went to at least one wedding where you were like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And did you get your gift back? No. No, you didn't get your gift back. They didn't even really have time to send you a thank you card because they weren't married anymore.
Should they change the rules on weddings where you don't receive the gifts until a year later?
Ooh. Well, I mean, it is within good taste. Like, you don't have to give the wedding the day of. I believe that you have up into a year. It is good manners to, if you send a gift within a year, you're okay.
Yeah, from now on, my gifts will be stipulated. You guys got to be married a year, and then I'll give you that.
All right, maybe don't broadcast that, Tony, but that could just be your personal code on some of this stuff.
Dressing up really is just the worst.
Oh, so much to do dressing up. Well, you got to do it a lot more than we do because you got TV stuff.
Trust me, I hate it too. Yesterday, I looked like a balloon, and I hated it.
Same.
Like, I just had one of those days where, you know, every now and again, like with the Crohn's, like I have like a day where even if I don't eat a lot, like I'm just kind of bloated. And I was in my suit yesterday for the Wanstead show, and I was like, not great. Not great, Bob. Not great. It drove me so crazy that I got on the scale today. I was like, am I a little out of shape? Like, I've been doing like 25 miles a week.
Ugh.
And
when's the last time I was on a scale?
Well, it had been a while for me, and I had a number in my head. I was like, I'm clearly this after yesterday, after dressing up and the suit not feeling right, all that. I'm like, I'm clearly this. I got on the scale. I was 15 pounds lighter than I thought I was.
Yeah. I have the philosophy, if you can't have gained weight, if you don't get on a scale.
That's fair. That's fair. Texter says, breaking news, you're retiring in 2 years? Who knows?
We'll see.
I was throwing that out as an example, you know?
Lawrence Gronkowski over here throwing it out there.
My body hurts from doing this job. I can't do it anymore. That would be a bad number for me, though. I should have either left before I signed this new contract, or I got to, like, keep going because I'm at 21 and a half years now.
I mean, 21 is the best-looking number on a jersey.
And you're right. 23 looks pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Right? Stay tuned. We'll see what happens. All right, we need to get kind of serious on this show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about last night's game, the Cubs getting a win. I want to talk about the Cardinals, too, for a little bit. Because, my goodness, they are a terrifying bunch right now, and the Cubs got to track them down. We talked with Joe Madden about that. I'll talk with you about it. You can text us at 670-11. Is the wedding game a racket? The answer is yes. Back after this on The Score. At 1 o'clock, we're going to talk with the director of the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30 that is going to debut tonight. on ESPN. I have a lot of questions, and I have a lot of questions about the director, who apparently is a whiz at Family Feud. We'll do that at 1 o'clock. I love this stupid radio show that we do. And one of the things that I love about it is that my friends who work in media are comfortable enough to text me while the show is going on, knowing that I might say something about what they text. I'm also glad that, like, we got the texter. What did the texter say? That they used to hate me and now I'm their favorite host?
Yeah. Lawrence, I used to didn't like you, but now I like you.
What's not to like? We do a silly show that sometimes does really good, serious sports analysis when we need to do it. I'm produced very well by Tony Gill and by Rick Camp. They work very hard on the show. And Mitch Rosen is a person that gave me the freedom to do our stupid little radio show. This text I got on my phone, and now this person wishes that they had text just the 670-11 line. I'm not going to tell you who this person is. I'm just going to tell you that the text was hilarious. This text reads, "Went to a wedding. I knew it wasn't going to last. It was my own."
Oh.
Crying, laughing emoji. That's messed up when you're standing there and you're like,
ah. You're not hearing Here Comes the Bride. You're hearing the Curb theme.
Just a close up on that person's face. This texter has said, and they're very nice, said that I look okay standing next to the football players. No, I don't. And I don't mean, like, if you saw me on the street in a suit, you would go, man, that guy looks good in a suit. Now stand me next to Alex Brown or Matt Forte. Not good.
And they have the ultimate confidence in how they look.
Well, and Matt more than anyone else. You know what you don't realize about Matt Forte? How big a dude he is. Because you think, oh, Matt Forte is a running back. Yeah.
No, he was a taller back.
He's 6'2".
Yeah.
And that's the height where everything looks great on you. Like, tall guys look better in suits than short guys do. Well, someone hits you up on here too, Campy, saying that dress-up days are bad for fats. And I don't...
They are awful for fats.
I mean...
No, there's no good way around it. Like, there need to be lines that aren't going directly down or like trapezoidal out.
Yeah, my biggest problem, I'm starting to get like a couple of newer suits for the TV stuff, is that there was a trend of like the tighter suits over the last like 5 years. I'm like,
forget the trend.
I just can't, man. It's uncomfortable.
You know, I had this conversation with my old man. He likes the traditional, you know, long jacket.
Wait, is your dad out here looking like Steve Harvey? Do you got a 4-button suit on? Does he look like Steve Harvey in original Kings of Comedy?
It's not that old school, but it's still kind of like he likes the larger. My mom, she likes the larger jacket. And I'm like, Mom, that's not what we're wearing now. Like, we're wearing the shorter jackets. You know, that's just in the slimmer fit. That's just how it is.
So is it more of a Steve Harvey show suit then?
That's what I'm saying. This texter says, I'm 6'2". Trust me, not everything looks great. Are you 6'2", 210, and all muscle, though? Because if you are, then it looks great.
I have never, ever felt uglier, which is quite a statement for me, than when I was escorting Scott Posednik upstairs for Hit and Run.
Yes! I was at a party with Posednik a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, geez, he is good looking. And we were just out hanging out in a backyard at a pig roast. My man Slavko had a pig roast, and I walk in and Posednik's there, and I'm like, geez, like this is unfair. It's quite unfair.
Who's that guy that is like, wow, like you just can't stop looking at him? Like, dude, you look like you, and it's amazing. Who's that guy for you?
Well, I mean, Jason Hayward's high on the list.
I'll tell you mine.
All right.
Nicky Delmonico.
Really?
Yeah. When he came in to do that hit with you and Maggie in the kitchen, the culinary kitchen.
Where we made churros.
Yeah. I was like, this dude is a handsome
He's
guy.
He's a really good looking guy. Yeah. I'm glad that we are open enough to have this conversation on the show. You know, we're being very progressive right now. I don't know if it's an athlete in town, but I'll tell you, like a celebrity, I look at it like, wow, that. I mean, David Beckham is like wow, really good looking. Like, it's just unfair.
Yeah, facts. Agreed.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, I get it. You know, I like if I had a girlfriend or like a wife, it's
and
like,
she left you.
Yeah, I'm like, I get it. I understand.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody has their walk list.
Yeah. Well, I have mine, and Mel gets mad because I like keep adding to it, and now she feels like it's unfair because I theoretically could end up in a room with some of these people now, and she's like, no, that's no.
Yeah, for Colleen, I get a little bit self-conscious just because they are literally the opposite of me. Not even like better version of the same type of thing. Like, do me and Cam Newton look anything alike?
Oh, yeah, that's bad for you. And again, it's in a situation where it's possible. It's not likely, but because of what you do, it's possible that you, Colleen, and Cam Newton end up in a room. On an airplane together.
Less so with Usher, so I don't feel quite as bad about that one, but you know.
Okay, so Colleen's got a type, apparently, that is completely opposite from you.
Yes.
Oh, this is...
Yeah, I didn't realize I was viewed as like white chocolate all these years.
See? You were doing all this stuff like you were on Drumline, and she's like, ooh! Ooh, there it is right there!
Right.
Oh my God. That is, I don't even, at this point, I'm not even sure what Tony should use for the open tomorrow. Cause at this point,
well, where has he spoken the most?
No. Here's the thing. We got you calling yourself white chocolate and saying that your wife has a type. You have Joe Madden basically giving us tips on how to pick up people in bars. And it was fantastic. I don't know where Tony goes with, and we still have an hour of show left to do. I haven't even talked about Jack Flaherty. There's part of me that feels like people want me to really delve into the Cardinals thing, and now like we've run out of time in the segment.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two.
Yes, we still have another hour left.
I think I just blew up the text line.
What did you do? Oh, no.
A bunch of versions of oh my campy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is why I think that.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
No,
I get it.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know what's really scary, though? Like, Mel hasn't really given me her list in a while because I'm always, like, adding to mine. And I know, like, in the back of her head, she's like, okay.
There's nothing worse than a secret list.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta let that be known.
Like, I'm very out in the open about my J-Lo thing. Like, I'm very out in the open about that and have been for a long time. But, you know, occasionally someone will, like, wander onto my list, and she's just like, okay.
I mean, we got to call her today, right, to get the list.
Don't call her.
Oh, you know whose updated list we have to get?
Colleen's, apparently.
Oh, no. Hers has been the same. She knows hers. Herb's.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember I was working with you and Herb the night where he admitted his number one at the time.
I forgot who his number one was.
It was Raven Simone.
Oh, that's right. It was Raven Simone. That's right. Herbie's in a little bit of a different place now.
Oh, I know. And she doesn't have to worry about Raven coming after Herb.
Well, I mean, it's true. She doesn't. Let me run a couple of some of the texts and something I can say.
The Derek Jeter one?
Someone texted about Derek Jeter?
Yeah. We can't say it on air, though.
Oh, then no. This 847 text says Zach Miller. That's a good-looking man with a great hair. I think they all go to like Lawrence the Barber. Not me. I don't cut hair. But I think that I'm pretty sure that Ryan Pace looked at Zach Miller's hair and was like, I can do that. And now he does that. And it looks good. Pace's hair looks good. His draft pick from a couple years ago doesn't. Oh! Oh! Now we're having fun on a sports show!
Now we're cooking!
We need to take a break. I hope that you've enjoyed the ridiculousness of the last hour. We probably will get into a more serious topic as the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30 is coming up tonight on ESPN. We're going to talk with its director next here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.